pray about. I've got a whole list of stuff to pray for the youth rally, the travel, the food, the weather, the preaching. I'll make some of those up and give you out a youth rally prayer list. The finances, very, very expensive time of year for us. And we'll take the money that we got not long ago. We're going to be doing some stuff here with our buses. We're all fixing some stuff around here also. So very expensive time of year. Hope that you'll pray about that. Luke chapter 19. A lot of people have a lot of ideas why Jesus came into this world. He answered it himself, and I'm going to give you this answer, but preach on a word that he used. Luke 19, verse 10. He said, "For the Son of Man," referring to himself, "is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, I want you to look at that last word of that verse, the word lost. I want to preach on that word this morning, the word lost. They say it's the saddest word in the English language. What does it mean to be lost? Now, they say if a man's got a clock and a calendar and a compass and a map and a ruler and a light, he's not lost. If he knows how to read it. A clock do you no good if you don't know how to tell time. A calendar will do you no good if you don't know what day it is. A map will do you no good if you don't know how to read it. Have you ever been with somebody, don't name no names, but you say, "Get that map, find out which," it's for GPS, everybody use map. I still got my Rand McNally nap. I took it with me, map. I took it with me this year, this week down Revival. And I still look at a map. I like to see it all at once. And did you know you can hand some people a map and they don't know if it's upside down, straight, can't find North Carolina on it. It ain't going to do you no good like that. I know how to read a map. I know how to read a compass. And I know if you know that, you're not lost. Years ago, when I was about, I'm guessing, 9 or 10 years old, me and Dad, my daddy was up in the woods cutting some old dead trees with a chainsaw. He cut wood a lot and burned wood a lot, and he had a chainsaw. Me and him went way up in the woods, and the woods behind my house, if you know the woods up in here, a lot like that, but the further you go to Marion, on up in the mountain that way, they're just like this, just up and down, and they're hollers, and they go up like this and around. You can tell it's where the flood came and washed out gullies and goes up and down. I have 27 acres there at my mom's place, and Daddy knew every step of them woods like the back of his hand. I didn't. I was about 10 years old, and at that time, I didn't have a real good sense of direction. I got one now, but I didn't then. We went way up in the woods one day, and Daddy cut this tree, and he was going to try to bring some wood down. He said, you take his chainsaw and go on home with it. I said, okay. And I took that saw, and man, it was heavy. When you're about 10 years old, chainsaw's heavy. And I was having to carry it like this, you know. And I started down through the woods. I thought, why'd he make me do this? And but he was getting the wood, and I went down a hump and up another one, down another one, and up another one, and down another one, and up another one. I didn't know where I was at. And for the first few minutes, I thought, well, I'm going to come out down here somewhere. And I never did come out. And, you know, you can get turned around in them hollers where you thought, well, I come down that way. They all look just alike. And they're going like this, and like this, and like this. And I'll never forget. I thought, where in the world am I? So I thought, I'll just keep walking straight. And you can't even walk straight because there's a tree and you got to go around it. And then there's a hole and you go down in it. And you try to get back on. You don't know which way straight is. And especially if the sun's not out. Of course, I wouldn't know what to do by the sun anyway. And I've walked and walked and walked and walked. And for y'all that know where we're at, I finally come out over there on what's called the Randolph Road. That's over behind my house, over toward Interstate 40 on North Nebo. That goes into Stacy Hill and Stacy Hill. And when I seen it, I thought, oh, my goodness, we rode the bus. Our bus comes down this road in school. I know where I'm at. And rather than change, I was so scared that I walked on the road with that chainsaw. You say, boy, I'd have been, you wouldn't have been scared to meet a 10-year-old with a chainsaw in the woods. I wasn't a scary sight at all. And I carried that saw and walked up that road and down Stacy Hill and up Highway 70. That'd be child abuse nowadays. And I walked all the way to Highway 70, all the way and turned up Hoppy Tom, probably two and a half miles, and I got home. But I'm telling you, that feeling that hits you, I don't know where I'm at. I don't like that feeling. I don't like that feeling at all. I've never got lost much driving because I've got off track. I can stop and ask somebody. The only time I ever really got lost bad driving was in Washington, D.C., and if you've ever drove in Washington, D.C., it ain't like other cities. Like if you're in New York or anywhere else, there's squares. If you know you're trying to get over there, you're going to go, there's going to be a red light somewhere, and you can turn and go that way. Washington, D.C. is laid off like at angles. And if you ever looked at a map, the Capitol's here, and all these roads going this way, you turn this way and go around, turn it out. I turned and turned, and I thought, I'm on the road getting out of here. And I made another turn, drove 20 minutes. And I thought, didn't I pass that building a few minutes ago? Very same building. I was going around in circles. It's an awful feeling to be lost. Being lost is a terrible feeling. Now, I am not lost this morning. Physically, I know exactly where I am. Let me tell you where I'm at. I am on the very tip edge of Valdez, North Carolina. The altitude here over sea level is between 1,100 and 1,200 feet above sea level, right here where I stand. The time is approximately 11:32 a.m. The date is March the 19th, 2017. And that way, just like about right that way out there, is west. And that way is east. And that way, just a tad right of square of this building is north. And that way is south. That way's Florida. If you want to know where the Atlantic Ocean is, it's that way. If you want to know where New York City is, it's that way. You say, how do you know that? I know where I'm at. I know exactly where. I don't know the longitude and latitude of this place, but I know exactly where I am. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know where you are, you're not lost. I also know spiritually that I'm not lost. I know exactly where I'm at. I have a compass, I have a calendar, I have a ruler, I have a map, and I have everything that I need in this book right here. Now, what does it mean to be lost? Number one, it's living without life. You know, there's a lot of people out here running up and down the road, they're living, but they have no life. They're like zombies. All this zombie stuff now. That's exactly the way people are now. Ladies and gentlemen, they're like the human race is dead. If the Bible makes one thing clear in the New Testament, it is that the entire human race spiritually is dead. They're alive physically, but have no life spiritually. That's what Jesus meant. That time that guy come to him, he said, Lord, I want to follow you. And he said, okay, come on. He said, but wait a minute, my daddy died, and I want to go bury him. And the Lord said, let the dead bury the dead. You remember that? You know what he meant? He said, let dead people bury that dead man. Let spiritually dead people bury the physical dead. You come follow me. That's what the Lord said. You remember in the Bible where that woman was living in sin, and the Lord said that she's dead while she lived. So you see, movie stars, athletes, country singers, and if they're not saved, they are dead. They're living, but have no life. The Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I didn't have life until I had met the Lord Jesus Christ. And you didn't either. You might not remember it's been so long. You might not realize it when you got saved when you was a child, but Jesus gave you life. Budweiser don't give life. Pepsi don't give life. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ gives life. He said, like the prodigal son. The Bible said that prodigal son was down there, and when he come back, he'd been out there living in sin. You know what the man said about him? He said, this my son was lost. He was lost, but now he's found. So when you meet people out there in the world and you try to invite them to church and they just think you have absolutely lost your mind, and they're gonna, you know what's wrong with them people? They're lost. They're lost. I'm going to say a few things about it. Number two, you see without sight. You can see without sight. Have you ever heard anybody say, I just don't see why you think the Bible's right and everything. I just don't see why you got to go to church every Sunday. I don't see why you can't do it. I don't see what's wrong with this. I don't see what, if a person's always saying they don't see, they are admitting to you that they are blind. When you're lost, when those guys get lost in the Bermuda Triangle, I've done a lot of studying about the Bermuda Triangle. There's hundreds of planes and ships and stuff. I mean, absolute vanish, brother, vanish. And there's all kinds of theories about what happens to them. And I've got mine. I believe it's better than the rest of them. I've got mine. I'll preach to you about it sometime. But they say when they go into that Bermuda Triangle, sometimes they enter into a certain, some kind of haze or vortex or into another dimension, magnetic fields under that, and God knows what. But they say they have trouble figuring out where they're at. That one flight back in the 1940s, I think five planes completely vanished like that. One time, never did find them, still ain't found them. They showed up in the Independence Day movie, somebody says, and them guys come walking back out where they've been in that time warp for a long time. I don't know about all that. They sent out a big Martin Mariner after them, and it disappeared. And ladies and gentlemen said, when they get into that Bermuda Triangle, they can't figure out where they're at. Now, Joe back there, where you at, Joe? Raise your hand back there. Joe back there, he's a pilot. He flies planes. He knows the friendly skies of North Carolina. And, buddy, he flies a plane, and you can ask him. And pilot, they got a set of instruments that they go by. Because sometimes you get up there, and you think you're going one way, and you're going the other way. And you get vertigo. Vertigo is when you get confused. You don't know which way's which, and you get lost. And that's why they say it's so important to go by your instruments, not by how you feel. There was a man on the ground where that flight disappeared, and he was saying, you're over the Bahamas, you're over the Bahamas. And the guy said, no, I think I've got lost. We're over the Florida Keys. And the guy said, no, you're over the Bahamas, head west. And that guy did not trust what he was saying, the guy on the radar. He said, I feel like we're this, I feel, and went by his feelings. What gets you in trouble in life is where you go by your feelings and not by your instrument panel. See, you can think you're going right and you ain't. How many of you, ladies, I know all your husbands have done this, they think they know exactly where they're going and they don't. And they'd die before they'd stop and ask somebody because they know it all and they're smart and macho. You men shouldn't be like that. I mean, she'd first start getting out. We went to Florida somewhere, and she said, let me GPS. I put that thing up. I know where I'm going. I can't stand some little. And she said, no, Danny, it says right here, make a right turn. I know where I'm at, hush. Yeah, that's the way men are. And have you men ever got to, and you say, well, I think it's right down here. I think the right road. No, it's the next one. I know it's the next one. And you keep going, and you keep going. It's right down here somewhere. I remember. And you're 30 miles off going the wrong way. You cannot go by your feelings. There is also knowledge without understanding. You know that song, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, what we need this morning, every one of you, is for the Lord to touch you. You'll see then. You'll see why people read the Bible then. When the Lord touches you, it's very plain why you want to go to church, why you want to teach your kids right, why you want to read and pray, because you can see. Before that, you're lost. Now, let me tell you what the Bible said in Acts 28:26. Knowledge without understanding. It said, hearing, ye shall hear and not understand. Seeing, ye shall hear, see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest I should touch, see that, lest the light of the gospel should shine, and I should heal them. We are compared in the Bible to lost sheep. More than anything else, we're compared to lost sheep. A sheep is the dumbest animal for its size in the world. That's what God compares us to. A sheep can wander off down here. It'll nibble a little, nibble a little, go to a club, nibble a little bit more, go to another club, nibble a little bit more, watch a bad movie, nibble a little bit more. Next thing you know, he walks out and he's way lost from the rest of the flock. We are called lost sheep. Jesus said, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Psalm 119:176 said, we went astray like a lost sheep. Jeremiah 50 and verse 6 said, people's been a lost sheep. Matthew 10:6 said, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Luke 15:6 said, I found my sheep which was lost. Now, I did a little bit of research, and I thought, wonder what the world answer is for feeling lost. One preacher said, America has more prosperity, more, and yet thousands, millions of Americans have an empty, lost feeling. I'm talking about college graduates. I'm talking about doctors and lawyers. People have this feeling. They said, I just feel lost. And I read an article or two on it, and here's what it said. And I listened to a video on it. And it said, what to do when you feel lost inside. Now, you talk about blind leading the blind, this is it. Well, if you go out there in the world, you don't know the Lord, and you say, I just feel lost. I can't find my purpose in life. You know what makes you feel like that, they say? They say that when you start feeling like my life isn't where I thought I was going to be right now. How did I end up like this? How did I get to this place? I've never really found my purpose. What am I even here for? What you say, you ever feel like that, Brother Danny? No. No. I've had people tell me, they say, well, I feel like, how did I get in this place? How did I wind up? This is my life. Is this all it's ever going to be? I mean, they say that on TV all the time. You say, Brother Danny, you never feel like that? No, never. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know exactly why I'm here. Has everything in my life turned out right? Lord, no, and theirs ain't neither, and yours won't neither. But I know where I'm at. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do on this planet. I never wonder about, I wonder what the purpose and meaning of life is. Lord, we know what the purpose and meaning of life is. Here's what it said. When you feel lost in life, you feel like, well, I was too young, and I got married too young, and I was stupid, and I didn't know what I'm doing, and now I'm stuck with that, and I'm miserable, and I just messed up, and I need to find, you know what they tell you to do? They tell you to align yourself. Get your mind and body together, and it says there's 10 steps to overcome feeling lost, and you're supposed to study philosophies and the meaning of life, and find out what you enjoy and what you want and what makes you happy and pursue it, because all your life you've been told this is your place, this is your place, and what you really ought to do is do whatever you want and that'll make you happy. I'll tell you, you couldn't get worse advice at a crack house. You could not get worse advice from a bunch of drunks in a pool hall at 3 o'clock in the morning than that right now. The last thing in the world you need to make your life happy is do what makes you feel good and what you enjoy. Stomp on everybody's feelings. It don't matter what they say. It don't matter who you hurt. If you feel like this is what you want, go do it, and you'll find yourself. Well, go out there in the middle of that ocean on that fellow lost in that boat and tell him that. If you're lost, yeah, okay, well, do what's meaningful to you. Tell that man on his deathbed. Do what your desires are. Now listen. Said one time, there's this man come in. There's this little old boy sitting at a little old country store. He didn't have much. He's sitting there whittling on a piece of wood like that with his knife. About that time, a big, giant Cadillac pulled in, and everybody in the store looked at him. Man, that guy ain't from around here. Stopped like that right there, and a fancy line, looked like was from the mafia. Got out in a big, nice suit, come in and said, hey, boy, which way does this road go right down through there? And that little boy said, I don't know. And he said, well, what about this when I came down? Where does it lead to? The little boy said, I don't know. And he said, well, Okay, what if I turn left right here? Where does this road right here go? Little boy said, I don't know. He said, boy, don't you know nothing? He said, I know I ain't lost. Just kept whittling. See, he knew more than that guy did. At least he knew where his home was. At least he knew where his mom and daddy was. At least he knew what he was here for. Ladies and gentlemen, you are understanding without knowledge. They say one lady said, she said, that's why people turn to religion. It gives them a purpose in life. And if that gives you purpose, then go for it. But if something else gives you purpose, then go for it. No. There's got to be something more sure than those philosophies of life. Number four, dying without hope. I'm talking about dying without hope. The book of Jude says that when people die without hope, they are reserved in the midst of blackness and darkness forever. You talk about lost. You ever been to a horror house or out in the woods when it's pitch black, dark, and you don't know where you're at? That's an awful feeling. Now, the worst stories of being lost are those that are lost at sea. People lost in land, sometimes that's scary, or out in the desert, or up in the mountains, or in the Antarctica, or somewhere, that's horrible. But I'm telling you, the worst one I read was in the water. There's a boy named Brad and a girl named Deborah, and three of their friends was going to take a cruise on a yacht. One of them evidently had a lot of money, and they had a yacht, and they was going to leave New York and go down the coast, down to Florida. It took, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. I don't know how long it takes to do that on a yacht. Probably 3 days, I guess. Maybe shorter than that. Depending on how fast it goes. But after they got out to sea, they met with terrible, terrible weather, and that thing capsized. 45-foot waves. That's twice as high as this ceiling. And knocked that thing over and hurled all five of them into the water. Three of them got a life raft. Somehow got on it. One fell off. There was two girls and three guys. The other girl cut her leg real bad and got blood poisoning and died in a day or two. Two of the other guys were eaten by sharks. When you're out there holding like this and you're holding on and ain't nothing, you can't see water in every way, you don't know where you're at, you don't know which way home is, you don't know which way land is, and sharks get them. They died lost. That's a picture of a person getting out here messing up their life and winding up in prison dying, winding up on drugs dying. Predators got them, and they died lost. Died lost. Brad and Deborah stayed afloat for a couple of days, and a freight ship spotted them and saved them. That's the bus ministry. I won't take time to get into that. That's bus work. That's a church. Spotted them and said, there's somebody lost, and grabbed them. It was terrifying. Floating day and night, hoping somebody will find you. Three of them perished. Two of them were rescued. One guy went out on a boat fishing, and his motor tore up, sail went that, and he got lost and got out there, and they searched for him. But they only searched 2 miles out. He was found 20 miles out in that ocean. 20 miles. And buddy, these boys were grabbing live jellyfish and eating live jellyfish to stay alive, drink their own bodily fluids so they could have something to drink. They were burned. The sun burned them nearly to death. And a boat finally came and rescued them. 6 days were out there in that water. No bright tomorrow. No glad reunion. No going home for supper. No, I mean, unbelievably awful torture. Lost. No hope in sight. One boy lost 40 pounds. I know some people like that right now. Walking around lost. I see them at the store. I seen two yesterday on bus route. Sores all over their face. Sin had ruined their life. Lost. That's why them buses comb these waters every week. And bus worker, listen, there's you an incentive to get in the bus ministry. That ship happened to come by and see them and picked them up. Them people out there is glad somebody came. What about facing judgment without an advocate? You want to be lost? Go stand before the judge. I've never been to court. I mean, I've been to court, but I've never been in court. I mean, I've never, you know what I mean? I've never been charged with a crime, but I've been to court with a lot of people. And I wasn't even the one on trial. I went to put one of my cousins one time up there in Asheville, and it was a federal and that judge came in there, and when he came in, I just went like that, and buddy, they slammed that thing down there and I said, hear ye, I sat there just like, I was scared to death. I wasn't even done nothing. I can't imagine standing in front of God. We're going to show it to you at the youth rally. I can't imagine standing in front of God Almighty, who knows everything you've ever done, with no lawyer. Now, if you get you a good enough lawyer, buddy, you can about buy your way out of anything. I can't imagine who's going to plead his case. Nobody. What'd he do? Sinned all his life. What are you going to do, judge? Bam! Lake of fire. That's lost, brother. That's lost. Let me tell you a story right quick. There's a man by the name of Richard Van Palm. He was on a 3-hour trip to the Catalina Island. Anybody know where Catalina Island is? Right on the other side of Los Angeles. You can see it. You can see it from Long Beach, California. I was out there, and they said, look right over yonder, like one of them places where Alcatraz is. And you can see the Catalina Island. He was on a 3.5-hour trip in May 2002 to the Catalina Islands. Bad weather came up, broke the mast of his ship, his boat. His motor was broken, and he is floating by himself. He had a little grill. He caught seagulls, he caught fish, he grilled fish and seagulls and turtles and anything he could catch and stayed afloat on that boat 3.5 months. They gave up on him. They thought he was dead. They thought they'd never hear from him again. They thought that fellow's gone. He's gone 3.5 months. And lo and behold, the Coast Guard, brother, spotted him in Costa Rica water down near Guatemala. 3.5 months float. Every time I go to the ocean and swim, I do this. I always have. I swim way out there and swim way out there, and I imagine. If I see one of them things, you know, I think it's a dolphin. That's what I try to say. But I imagine that I'm out. I don't look back and see the sand. I always think, what if I was out here? I mean, there's people done that. Lots of them. And that old boy's out there 3.5 months. Can you imagine holding on to something, a piece of wood out there and not even know which way? Lost. No. Wouldn't you hope somebody come and find you? Wouldn't you hope somebody come and got you? Now listen, the worst kind of lost is being lost. You don't even know you're lost. But when you're out there in that water and you're lost, you're hoping, oh, somebody come by. One guy, him and his wife got lost on a boat, and he had some flares, and he shot these flares up, and there's a ship, 50 miles away or wherever, and saw them things and came and rescued them. There's people all over this county and all over this world that need rescuing. That's the church's job. That's why I preach and visit. That's why we put these things out. That's why we have youth rally. We're a big old ship picking up lost people out there in this world. But when you're lost and don't know you're lost. How many have been lost and didn't know you was lost? You had a lot of fun until all of a sudden it hit you. You know, those kids run off from mom at Disney World. And they run and play, oh, look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. And about that time somebody says, honey, where's your mom? She's right, where's my mom? Where's my, right then's when it hits you, you realize you're lost. See, you can be, there's people out here having fun, running around, they don't even know they're lost. It ain't even hit them yet. That's why you can't get saved till you realize you're lost. You ain't going to get found till you realize you need a Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me this morning. There'll be thousands of people listening to this by the way of internet, and they'll hear it, this message. And I'm telling you, you're facing judgment without God. Ignorance is no excuse. I was driving one day, coming through town. A cop got behind me, turned his blue light on. And the first thing I think, am I speeding? Did I cross a yellow line? You know, you think, oh, and he pulled me over. Got out and he said, Mr. Castle, your tag's dead on your car. I said, really? He said, yeah. You didn't get any, and I don't know. I thought I did it. I thought I'd got it inspected, but I guess I laid that thing home. I had two or three cars, and, you know, you get one every few months. I don't remember. I think I inspected, and I said, sir, I didn't know it. And you know what I was wanting him to say? Oh, okay. Well, since you didn't know it, I'm going to let you go. But he didn't. I thought, ain't you going to feel sorry for me because I didn't know it? Guess what they say out there? Ignorance of the law is what? No excuse. And there'll be millions of people standing in front of God saying, I didn't know, God. I didn't know. It ain't no excuse. It's my job to find out. God give you a brain. It's your job to find out what about heaven and hell and how, if you know if you're saved or not and know where you're at. You say, well, you sounded awful cocky up there a while ago when you said you know exactly. I do, but it ain't nothing I've done. It's what the Lord's done for me. I know exactly where I'm at. I'm at the tip of Valdez, North Carolina. I know what day it is. It's March the 19th. That's not my opinion. It's a fact. It's year 2017. I'm between 11 and 1,200 feet above sea level. It's about 4 minutes till 12 p.m. I'm standing in a pulpit. I know my name is in the book of life because I've trusted what Jesus Christ. Just as sure as I know my calendar's right, I know my Bible's right. Matter of fact, my Bible more sure than the calendar or the clock. I know, brother, in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed him. This will mean something to you one of these days. It might not now, but it's going to one day. I told that guy, I said, man, I didn't know my tag was expired. Too bad. Write you a ticket. Oh, don't that make you want to just get mad at him? It ain't his fault. It ain't his fault. He's just doing his job. You know whose fault it was? Mine. Ignorance is no excuse. Now listen, I'm through. Eternity without God. People are eternal beings. Life begins at conception. If you want to know if you're pro-life, they call us anti-abortion. No, we're pro-life. They're pro-death. Life begins at conception. That's when a life begins. In the Bible, out of the Bible, science, medical, life begins at conception. You cannot believe the Bible and believe in abortion if you understand this book. It's impossible. The body may be in the grave, but the soul is alive. Your new body will be in heaven or hell forever and ever and ever. You sow a thought, you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. Not knowing where you are. They said these kids one night, these high school kids was going to a party, and they was all planning this big end of the year party. And it was really going to be big, and all the kids at school were going, well, this boy, him and two or three of his friends, it was way out in the woods somewhere. Somebody had got a cabin out in the woods somewhere, and they was all going to go out there and party and drink and live it up and listen to music. And he said him and two of his friends started toward that party, and he said the boy gave him directions, and he got halfway out there, and it started getting dark. And he said, now, am I supposed to turn here or not? He said, I think I passed the road. I believe it was right back there. They turned around, went down another road, tried to call one of the other ones. The phone wouldn't work. It was out of service. And he said, we went down this way, and one of them said, I believe this is right. I believe this. His buddy said, this is the right way. Yeah, this is it. Oh, yeah, we're okay. He kept driving, and sure enough, there was a car, some cars right there in a crowd of people, and he said, we're here. And he said they got out, parked that car, and started walking. They could see the bonfire. And he said the closer they got, said something didn't look right. He said that fire was burning up like that right there, and there was a circle of people around it with black robes and hoods over the face like that. And he said, man, we done stumbled into something like one of them movies on some kind of cult meeting or something. And they said, we gradually just turned around like this, started going back toward the car. And he said, well, the men started coming towards them. I mean, it's dark. It's out in the woods. These are teenagers. And one of them things started coming toward them. And there came another one. And they said they got in their car. Their heart was flying. They got in their car and sped down the road. They said, we're out of there. And they said a car come up behind them. So whoever that was, somebody got behind them and was coming down through them woods. Now, you know, we're all sitting in here in light. That's a story. But have you ever been out in the woods at night and got scared? And then the next thing you know, boy, I mean, and then it's the fear builds on itself. It's like a snowball. And you know, you start thinking all kinds of crazy things. And he said, them people got behind him. And he said, they said, get us out of here. Well, you're the one that said it. You're the one that said we was wrong. And finally, the car disappeared and they didn't see it no more. Can you imagine standing in front of God and nothing underneath you, a million miles straight down, nothing? And there's your record, and you look around at your friends and say, I listened to you, you fools. I listened to you at college. I listened to you high school. You told me I didn't have nothing to worry about. You told me I was a good person. And now I stand here before God. And you know where they throw them? The Bible says they go into a bottomless pit. Can you imagine this now? You know why the Bible says hell's a bottomless pit? Because it's inside the earth and it's round and it says it has sides. The Bible said it brought down the sides of the pit and no bottom. It's all sides. Now, you know what? It's like you can be like you was in a dryer going around and around. Boom, boom, boom. Falling. Can't never get your feet down. Never. Can you imagine it being black and dark and you're falling and falling and falling and you don't even know where you're at? I think people don't even realize where they're at. I mean, they know they're in hell, but they don't know where they're at. We know where we're at in the solar system. We know where we're at in the United States. You just don't realize how bad it would feel to not know where you are. And this, and I close. I never thought about this in my life till last night. I don't know if the Lord just gave it to me for this or what. But I thought this. I said, the worst stories I've read about, being lost in the woods, being lost in the desert, the worst ones were them being lost out there in that water, on a big lake or an ocean. And then it hit me. You know where people's going to be forever? In a lake of fire. A lake of fire. Not knowing where you are. Not knowing which way's out. Not knowing, I believe some of them think I'm going to get out. He'll get me out one day. I don't even know where I'm at. Which way is the world? Where's the sun? Where's the moon? I don't know where I'm at. I'm lost on a lake forever. That's why Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. This ain't no game we're playing here, y'all. Listen, I've been doing this since I was 19 years old. I ain't playing. I'm serious. If you're lost here this morning, run to Jesus Christ and get yourself straightened out. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.